Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In the inaugural show, we'll go behind the scenes of the 2016 Guest Chef Dinner. This event kicks off the Wine and Food Festival sponsored by Montana State University Billings Foundation. This year's guest chef is Shane Ryan from Matt's in the Market in Seattle. We'll meet Shane in the second half of this show. But first, let's set the scene for this year's chef dinner. It was held last week at the Rex Restaurant Bar and Grill in downtown Billings. The Rex has been a fixture on Montana Avenue's historic district for nearly a century. In 1983, Jean Burgat became one of the owners. He made the Rex one of the most iconic steakhouses in Billings. For over a dozen years, Burgat closes his main dining room to host the chef dinner.
Each year is different, and it's just great having these guys, and they try different foods in here and different tastes, and have we copied any of it? A little bit. But it's just been fun.
Burgat and the Rex's executive chef, David Mapplethorpe, are calm and confident in advance of the dinner. There's the air of, yes, I've done this before, even though basically they are allowing someone to move into their kitchen.
Yes, just the oysters there. And then
have you thought your two?
And
these are the oysters here.
What's the
something else.
The subtitle of this year's guest chef dinner is From Sound to Sky, referring to the Puget Sound and then to the open heavens above the state of Montana and its surrounds. Guest chef Shane Ryan created this menu with help from David Mapplethorpe. I sat down with Mapplethorpe at the Rex before the event to talk about the menu.
His menu is a little eclectic.
What are some of the feature items in this menu?
Well, I think one that is going to be, I believe is going to be very good, is the elk tongue tartare. I'm kind of interested in that. He has a source for it, so that's good. And he's very excited about being here. But what I'm doing a sous vide New York strip. I'm doing the whole strip with foie gras, basil, and morels if I can get them.
And what are some of the other items that you might be serving that night?
Well, Shane's serving, first we do past appetizers. We have three, which I'm going to do is the Giggle oysters, and I'm going to do them with a margarita ice. Then Shane's doing deviled eggs, and he hasn't given me the selection of what he's going to put on the toppings yet. But then smoked fish with nettle pesto and pickled onion and fry bread. Then he's going to do a soup course with a chilled pea soup with ramps and salmon. Then he comes his elk tongue carpaccio, which I think is going to be quite interesting. He's going to do it with green garlic and garlic chips. Green garlic is it looks like a green onion, but it's garlic. And you have to buy it extremely fresh. Otherwise, it'll be very, very dry. And he's bringing that from Seattle. Then his third course is a grilled baby octopus with textura. Textura is a sausage. It's a fast-cured sausage with charred onions, melon, and tomato harissa. Harissa, you can either make it yourself or you can buy it. His idea is to make it himself, which is a very simple process. So,
and it's just roasted peppers that are
correct
with spices and all that.
Exactly.
And the sausage is supposed to impart this really beautiful red color into the dish.
Exactly. Yes. It's a brilliant red sausage. It cures in less than 5 hours. So it'll be an interesting dinner.
So then we move on to your course, and then dessert.
Dessert is stone fruits with house ricotta, which he'll make his own ricotta here.
Okay.
So it's going to be a great dinner. The people that come to the dinner are foodies. We pair wines with all the courses. Wines haven't been chosen yet, but they'll be all top-of-the-line wines, which will go very well with each course. And then we finish up with the dessert.
It sounds magnificent. So how many years have you participated in this event?
Oh, geez. I did the first guest chef dinner, which was done at Walker's, and I participated in that. I didn't have anything to do with it. I just participated. Then when I returned to Billings in 2006, we've done it every year since. And we'll continue to do it even after I retire. And I'll still be a part of it.
David Mapplethorpe is the executive chef at the Rex. I'm Stella Fong. You're listening to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region.
We are supported by Zonta Club of Billings, dedicated to advancing women's education, equality, health, and wellness, providing grants for community agencies, student scholarships, local nonprofit assistance, and awareness and education for domestic violence and human trafficking.
Welcome back to Flavors Under the Big Sky. I'm here honored to be sitting with Executive Chef Shane Ryan from Matt's in the Market in Seattle. Not only does his restaurant have a great view of the Sound, he's right above Rachel the Pig and above the Flying Fish in Pike's Market. So, Shane, thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks so much, Stella, for having me. This is great.
Well, I'm going to start by having you just tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell me about how you got into cooking. How did it all begin?
Oh, man. Well, I was mowing lawns, and I wanted to go out on dates more often, and I needed more money because mowing lawns wasn't quite cutting it. So there was a restaurant across the street from my parents' house called Mimi's Kitchen.
Oh.
And they were hiring a busboy and a dishwasher. And
how old were you?
I was 15, 16. And that's just kind of where it started. And then it worked out from there, and the chef went to a community college in Seattle, South Seattle Community College. And he said, you know, you're pretty good at this stuff. You should check this out. And I thought, whatever. But I also knew I didn't want to go to college, and I knew that I enjoyed food. And so I actually listened to that guy, and I went to South Seattle Community College for culinary school. And
you loved it.
And I loved it. And I had a blast. And every time I've worked in a kitchen, whether I had any education or not, I still just loved it. And you don't stop learning. I still to this day do not stop learning.
Well, it's been obvious because I've looked at your resume a little bit, and you have been all over the world. So tell me where you've been.
Well, so started out, you know, Tacoma. Then I went to Missoula, Montana.
All right. Love that.
And then I went to back to Seattle, and then ended up in Vegas working for Joelle Robichon, which was just like...
How was that?
It was super crazy intense. I got my butt kicked down there in a good way.
But you learned.
I learned a ton. And you need to have that. You need to have yourself beaten down. If you want to do this industry, you need to have somebody beat you down.
And you helped him. You were one of the opening people for the
Major. I was. That was the first restaurant for Joelle Robichon in the United States. And the stuff that I learned there, and you know, you can't really describe it until you go through it. And the way that it helped my career and my thought process has been great. And I hated it, actually, when I was down there. But now when you look back at something as you get older, you just say, like, thank goodness that happened to me. You know, that needed to happen. And then that took me, you know, back to Seattle for a second there to open some of Ethan Stoll's restaurants.
Oh, you did? So you had a chance to work with him.
Oh,
Staples
yeah.
and Fancy.
Yep,
and...
opened that one. Helped out at How to Cook a Wolf. I opened Tavolata for him. And he's just a great guy, and it's just been a great experience. And then that, from that, some of the people that I worked with in Seattle ended up somehow in Asia. And then there you know.
You went to Bhutan, didn't you?
I went to Bhutan.
It sounds like a random place to be.
Completely. I almost went there in 05, and I went down to work for Robichon in Vegas. And part of it was this lady I was dating that said if I moved across the world, she would break up with me. And so I said, you know, okay, I'll move to Vegas. Is that okay? And she said, Vegas is fine. We can still, you know, see each other.
Good.
But then a few years later, she joined me in Bhutan, and we're married now and have a wonderful little baby girl. So it's awesome.
That is awesome. And her name is Becca, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
And I love it. She's a children's librarian.
She is. She is. And, you know, she put her career on hold. She went to University of Washington, and she put her career on hold to follow my dreams of going overseas, and we lived in Bhutan for a couple of years, and then we moved to the Caribbean because she said she was tired of looking at mountains and she wanted a beach. And so therefore we ended up on St. Martin, and we were down there for a couple of years, and we moved back to Seattle, and now she started her career and I have my career at Matt's, and we're just loving life together out there in the Northwest.
I think it's pretty romantic that you gave her a beach when she asked for one. Down in
the Caribbean.
We
should do it more often. I want to live on a beach. Let's put it that way.
Well, someday you just might do that.
That's true.
That's awesome. I'm just going to ask you just really quick responses to this, all right?
Okay.
Favorite restaurants in Seattle?
Oh, Bar Del Corso.
All right. Favorite cookbook?
Vietnam. I wish I could think of the author right now, but it's just Vietnam.
All right. All right. A culinary hero.
Joel Robichon.
All right. Favorite comfort food?
Butter and toast.
That's great. Okay. Is there another food that, you know, because you're such a great chef that, you know, people would be really surprised that you like
it? I'm a sucker for wheat thins, cheese, and like, that's it. Like, that is my comfort food. When I go home at night and I don't have anything to eat and I look at it, and I'm not talking about Tillamook cheddar.
I was going to ask, is it good cheese
it's
or
like,
cheese
make
whiz?
Make sure that your refrigerator always has several good cheeses. I mean, maybe two. You don't need several because always one you're going to forget about and it's going to go
what's
bad.
What's a good cheese?
Oh, man. Humboldt Fog, if you can have that, that's great.
Yes.
It's spreadable. That goes on crackers. That's easy to find in a grocery store.
Okay.
There's one out of Vashon Island. It's called Dinah's. If you're ever in Seattle, you can find it at De Laurentiis in the market. Dinah's cheese, it's very similar to like a camembert or a brie. It just melts over bread. But I am straight up a cheese and crackers guy. Comfort food, that's it.
I love it. I love it. Easy to eat.
Yep.
That's great. Finally, favorite thing to cook?
Favorite thing to cook. I like to challenge myself, so it's usually stuff that's on the grill that you shouldn't grill.
Such as
like
cheese?
Halibut. Okay, cheese, you're right. You shouldn't grill cheese. There is some cheese, but like halibut's tough to cook on the grill. But it's also delicious. You know, I have an old Weber. I'm not this gas grill guy, so it's like I'll just line up the mesquite coals, and then what are we doing today? Like last night I got excited, and it was Walla Walla sweet onions, spring onions,
yum,
and it was peppers, and we did that with some sausage that I had made, and I don't know, anything that I can put on the grill is what I get excited about. So that's my favorite thing to cook, is whenever I get to fire that grill up, and I am a huge fan of believing you should use the coals.
It's good. Man and fire.
Yep.
Yeah, it's part true. Of your genetics, I think.
It's true.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest chef for the Monday Night Dinner. So you're launching our week of events for the Wine and Food Festival. So our first question is, what is your philosophy on food? You know, chefs always have a theme.
Yeah.
And you've brought that with you, I think, you know, in this menu.
You know, especially, I guess, you know, and here's the thing with chef chefs with themes. It's true. They always do. My theme that I thought about for this dinner was to bring what I remember about Montana is some friends that I'd go elk hunting with. So I thought, well, we should have some elk something. It happens to be elk tongue.
You do have elk tongue carpaccio on this menu.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I thought, well, I live in Washington and, you know, I fish and I forage. So, you know I love halibut. We're going to do some halibut. Everybody thinks of Washington, they think of salmon.
Right.
The salmon runs are just starting this week. So I was able to get some sockeye salmon.
Oh.
And I cured that, and that's going to go with the pea soup. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you live. When you think of springtime, you think of peas.
Right.
And so that kind of fit nicely into this dinner because Washington is thinking peas, Montana is thinking peas. I thought, okay, well, let's do a pea soup with some of that salmon. Now, the ramps, you know, this is a part of spring that I don't know if Montana gets to experience. Like I said, I haven't lived here for quite a few years, and I don't know what's going on, but ramps is a huge springtime event throughout the Midwest. It happens starting in, like, Tennessee and Kentucky, and it works its way north into Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about a three-week period of ramps.
Right.
And so at Matt's in the Market, we buy as many ramps as we can handle cleaning because they're kind of a pain to clean. But we do whatever we can. We pickle them, and then we have them for the next few months. So I brought some pickled ramps to go with that salmon.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And then, you know, we got Chef Dave from the Rex, and I'm excited about anytime I come to Montana, I'm excited about the beef.
And
Chef
Dave's
like,
I got the beef. He's doing sous vide beef.
Oh, absolutely. And that's great. I'm super excited to have it. Like, it's a New York. Montana beef in the past, from what I remember, is just awesome.
And for those of us attending, is course 5. So after all your wonderful dishes, we're going to have to save room for that.
But he was able to get us some octopus.
Oh, that's great.
So that's going to be fun.
Let's step through your menu here.
Okay.
You have oysters. What kind?
Those are shigoku oysters.
And what are those?
Well, shigoku in Japanese means the ultimate.
Oh, all
and
right.
And so it's considered one of the better oysters that you can have. And those are grown on the south end of Vancouver Island, which is just north of Washington and part of the Strait of Juan de Fuca.
And what makes them so special?
They just have this perfect salty brininess.
Do they have
full
a good, good texture or different
good
texture?
Good texture, but the cup size, so they sit in this cup, and when you swallow it down, you can make your decision. If you want to bite down, you bite down. If not, you can swallow that hole down down the gullet.
All right. So the secret to eating an oyster is?
In my opinion, taste the liqueur inside the oyster.
Oh,
will tell you how good the oyster is.
All right.
If you have to bite into the oyster, so be it. It should taste just like the liqueur.
So is this a naked oyster, or you're going to dress it up with flavor?
Oh, there'll be some flavor involved. It's a surprise.
All right. We'll be awaiting the surprise. All right. Deviled eggs. Do you serve this at Matt's in the Market?
We do. It's one of our, you know, we do it during the daytime, during lunch. It's a big, big hit. We do it a little bit differently. We don't put just the cayenne or the paprika over the deviled eggs. We spice it up quite a bit. So I brought over some stuff. I'm not sure if anybody's familiar with sea beans. But I brought over some sea beans.
Well, tell us about sea beans.
Sea beans grow in the ocean in the Washington coast. They're a seaweed. They're delicious pickled. They're also delicious fresh. These ones are going to be pickled. I brought over some bocarones, which are some Spanish anchovies.
All right.
And then Castelvetrana olives, which are Italian olives. But all of this should make for hopefully a new way to eat deviled eggs.
Well, you're really bringing in that brininess and sea flavors and all that.
You need that to start because I want to wet your guys' palate for this 6-course menu
that's
going
to
go on.
And then you have smoked fish. What kind of smoked fish?
It's halibut.
Oh, it is halibut.
It is halibut. I am going with the smoked halibut because I was, you know, March is the first opening of halibut season. The Washington halibut, in my opinion, is the best halibut there is out there.
All right.
Alaska goes on for quite some time, but Washington's halibut is amazing, and what we're serving at the dinner is also going to be Washington halibut.
Are these large halibuts?
They are. The one that I have brought over for the dinner is 50 pounds.
50 pounds.
Yeah.
And you have a story about, was that one of the boxes that you had to load onto the airplane this morning?
It was one. It is true. Yes. It was very interesting.
So you hand carried our fish for tomorrow night's dinner.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. And then you have nettle pesto. All right. I'm going to say I'm a little leery. Nettle. Is it that stinging nettle?
It is. It is.
And
how do you think you stop the stinging?
You tell me.
I will. It stops stinging once you blanch it and boil it and cook it. You basically cook the poison out of it. And so if you're walking through it raw, you will get stung and you're going to itch. But as soon as you blanch it, fry it, it's gone.
It just magically becomes...
And it tastes like the earth. It is a part of the earth, and it tastes like the earth.
And does it have all those great herbaceous flavors? Like
it does.
All right.
Well, it does, and it's nice and bright green.
All right. So let's move on down. The elk tongue carpaccio.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that most people who are coming to this dinner may not have had that. You know, they may have had the tenderloin of the elk,
right,
or other parts, but not probably the tongue.
Okay.
So how did this come about?
Well, we have Roosevelt elk in Washington. It's a different breed than the elk that you'll find in Montana. But like I said, I just remember, you know, going out when I was in high school hunting with friends, and we'd go elk hunting, and the elk fully got processed. And I just thought Montana and the elk population, like, we should do something that makes sense to me if I was in Montana. And,
right.
And maybe that tongue isn't enjoyed by all in Montana, but there are the few that do use that tongue.
So you're using basically the philosophy of using all parts of whatever
absolutely.
You harvest.
I always do. Yeah. I always do.
So finally, octopus.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about this particular dish.
So this dish, it's more of like a Spanish-style dish. So there's going to be little grilled octopus, and then chistora is a type of sausage, and it's a Basque sausage, and it's very simple. The two main ingredients that you'll taste, and it's a pork sausage, is going to be garlic and pimentón, or paprika, but smoked paprika.
So it has a really red color
mm-hmm.
that you're putting mm-hmm. into the dish.
Absolutely. And then, you know, when we add the melon into it, it kind of cuts that intense flavor of this smokiness, and then you have this fish from the octopus that's not, doesn't taste like fish, right? It tastes like the sea,
right. But
it's not quite the same. And so I thought, oh, this would be a fun one to do. And then we have the charred onion. And this is going to add a different component, and I think it's just going to be great when it comes together.
I think there's a little sexiness to this meal here that's coming from the sea here. All right, final course, your house ricotta?
Yeah, so it's buttermilk, milk, and cream. And, you know, you heat it up to a certain temperature, and then you add just a little splash of lemon juice, and you let it sit, and then the cheese forms at the top. And we skim that off, and then we have ricotta.
And
so,
delicious. And what are you serving with it?
So stone fruits.
What kind? It's
plums, peaches.
Okay.
Nectarines. Well, there'll be a little honey flavor in the ricotta.
All right.
Some lemon. We're gonna have a little fun with that, and then there might be some. I might bring out a blowtorch with some sugar and char
See,
some of the
nectarines. See, the man with fire once again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always fun to mix textures up.
It sounds really, really great. So, but thank you again for being here in Montana.
Oh, thanks so much, Stella. I'm like super pumped and ecstatic to be here.
Proceeds from the MSUB Foundation Wine and Food Festival raises money to provide scholarships to students. This is the 24th year for the event. The producer for Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region, is Jackie Yamanaka. Our theme music is by Parker Brown. For more information about this program and links, go to our website, ypradio.org. I'm Stella Fong. Thank you.